Welcome to the Wellness and Wahala podcast. This is a podcast for wellness and Wahala warriors who are a winner, world changer, wise, and winsome. They are dedicated to tackling Wahala, which means issues and problems in Nigerian pidgin, for the good of humanity. Our tribe of subject matter experts in our village are a voice to the voiceless. Like you know, the African proverb, it says it takes a village. So we have a tribe of supporters that we will be interviewing on our show. Oya, join me, the former diplomat and public health advisor, Dr. Tomi Ademokun, better known as Oma Oba, as I give you the best public health and wellness in Wahala gist with wonderful people and guests, my VIPs, using their compassion to take action to put us on a pathway to a Wahala-free life. Bless up. Your girl, Dr. Tomi, better known as Ama Aba. Your girl is back, y'all. I've been outside. So this last quarter has just been transformational. We finally got to go to the Holy Land Israel trip. We've been planning this trip before the pandemic for over 3 years, thanks to Twin Travel Agency. So we were able to go, 8 of my family and friends, mom, sisters, daughters, aunties, friends, and so 8 of us for 8 days. And you know, the Hebrew meaning of 8 is new beginning. So y'all, this new episode of Wellness and Wahala podcast is just going to be eye-opening. I'm going to take you through the 8 days that we spent in the Holy Land. And it was just, when I say amazing, to walk where Jesus walked, and just to see the Bible come alive and the Holy Spirit just to manifest itself is just wonderful. For those of you tuning in to the Wellness and Wahala podcast for the first time, I'm the host. I give you great public health wellness tips and Wahala tips. You know, Wahala Nigerian Pidgin English means issues and problems. I go give you great tips and gyps on how to overcome various Wahala. And the topic today is Israel, the Holy Land, walking where Jesus, Yeshua, walked. And just, you know, how everybody, especially if you are a Christian, needs to take this trip to the Holy Land. And I definitely plan on going again on an extended tour, because you can actually go from Israel and then continue to Egypt, which we were able to go on the top of Mount Zion, Sinai, and we were able to see Egypt border, and also the Syria border and Jordan. So y'all, it was life-changing. Let me just get into it. Day one, we had a wonderful restaurant. So my sister was able to find online, I was able to find also through Instagram web reviews. We went to a wonderful restaurant, and you know, we just started, we had our communion and prayers and dinner. You know, when we arrived, it was a long flight, about 9-10 hours, to Delta Airlines. Shout out to them, y'all need to sponsor me, so we were able to start off with a dinner. My mom got us a wonderful custom-made Ashoi B Nigerian outfit. So I will post all these pictures on my Instagram site. So please follow me there if you have not, Wellness Wahala. And you'll see some of the live pictures and videos from the trip. But day one was basically arriving safely at our hotel. We went to dinner. My sister was able to get a wonderful bakery that was able to bake my mom a cake. We came with our own decorations. They reserved a table for me and my family outside. And, you know, we can see through the roof. It was just very, very nice. And we ended it in prayers. Then we can continue. So we landed in Tel Aviv. So this was in Tel Aviv. And we went throughout from, you know, the north all the way down to the south, all the way throughout Israel.
So from Tel Aviv to Galilee to Jerusalem, all over at key sites. So I will start off with day one. As I said, it was just arriving and having our wonderful celebration birthday dinner. It was supposed to be birthday celebrate for my mom, and then my birthday. My mom, she turned 70 2 years ago, and me, I turned 40. And then, of course, you know, COVID hit, so it was a joint birthday celebration. And then day two, we moved on from Tel Aviv and we went to the city of David, y'all. The land of the Bible teaches us so much about the context of our faith. Israel, the Holy Land, holds the mysteries of centuries of biblical history. Like I said, the Bible literally comes alive. And I, you know, was reading along YouVersion Bible plans about Israel. I had my Bible out, going through the map, you know, as we traveled along the road. Very mountainous nation and has deserts. It's just wonderful. So from the call of Abraham to the exodus from Egypt to the judges and kings to the Messiah, Yeshua born in the small town of Bethlehem, where we also went. This land setting. So, you know, we traveled throughout all the six regions in the country to the ancient history and biblical significant areas. We begin the journey in ancient Jerusalem after we left Tel Aviv. And this city holds the mystery of many cultures and ancient battles, and it is centered around a very famous and holy site, the Temple Mount. Long before Solomon built a temple in Jerusalem, this location was known as Mount Moriah, which we went to. If you go to Genesis chapter 22, we learned that the patriarchs Abraham received instructions to take his son Isaac to a mountain in the region of Moriah to sacrifice him. So y'all, we went there, y'all. It was just, I felt God throughout this whole journey. So Genesis 22, Abraham, he obeyed and was thankfully spared from actually taking his own son's life. The angel of the Lord intervened and a ram appeared as a substitute to save Isaac and his descendants. Traditionally, the Jewish people believed that the Temple of Solomon, which we went, was built upon the same mountain years later, allowing God to commune with his people. For Christians, the story of Isaac binding is often viewed as the foreshadow of Jesus, Yeshua's death. The Son of God died as a sacrifice for all of our sins. As we look at a small piece of the history of this ancient city, we had a glimpse of the coming of Christ. Yeshua was never an afterthought in God's plan. He was all part of it. But he was, you can see, you know, the center of the biblical history. Just Yeshua was just written all over through the history that we learned. So it was just amazing. In Genesis 22, I would say go back to read that as a reference. And 2 Samuel 5 and 1 Kings 6 and Luke 2. So 241 and 52, just as a Bible reference for the city of David. Then we went through the wilderness, you know, as you're going from one town to the next. And, you know, a lot of us, we get into our wilderness experiences. So, you know, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we should not fear, because God is with us. And if God is for us, no one can be against us, y'all. So day two, we went through the wilderness to different places. The setting of so many stories in the scripture, the Israelites wandered for 40 years in the wilderness because of their disobedience. They literally could have like got to the promised land in a couple of days. Like, we were able to go up on a mountain and we saw Egyptian border. So it wasn't that far. The Israelites wandered for 40 years because of their disobedience to God. King David fled from Saul into the wilderness and found shelter at En-Gedi. So we also visited En-Gedi, an oasis in the desert. From this location, we saw the inspiration for many psalms that speaks of God's faithfulness in dry places and his provision for his people in the desert. Many years later, in the New Testament, John the Baptist lived in the wilderness of Judah. John fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy of someone's crying out to God's people, making the crooked path straight and paving the way for the coming of the Messiah. Matthew's gospel tells us that John baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. So, y'all, me and my family, we were able to get baptized in the Jordan River. It was just amazing. And, you know, it was just a great experience to get baptized where John the Baptist and where Jesus Yeshua got baptized. And, you know, I was just amazed, y'all. Truly, everybody should take this experience and go to Israel, the Holy Land. I just was touched, y'all. So, and shout out to our tour guide because we had to go early in the morning. We got a special spot. God just favored us, our group. So, you know, many people, many churches were there to get baptized and just a whole bunch of group. But they gave us a private, like, VIP area where we were able to go with just me and my family members, just the eight of us, and get baptized. And some of my mom's friends, my mom's a deaconess, but some of them are pastors. So we were able to, you know, hold hands and get baptized together. Y'all, it was just wonderful. So that was a very key and strategic stop in our tour of the Holy Land. The Jordan River, shortly after Jesus went into the wilderness, also when after he was baptized in the Jordan to be tested and tempted, you know. So the enemy will try to come, you know. And of course, there was some type of hiccups, you know, here and there on the trip, but we were not getting distracted by the enemy. We already prayed for protection and safety, and God really looked out for us. But, you know, when Yeshua, when you read the book, after he got baptized in the Jordan, he became hungry and physically weak after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And, you know, Satan came to him. And when he defeated Satan's lies, he traveled to Galilee. Y'all, we also took a boat ride in Galilee, y'all. That was wonderful. And if you remember, Galilee in the Bible begins when Yeshua, Jesus, was casting out demons, healing, and preaching about the arrival of the kingdom of God. Jesus' ultimate defeat of Satan will come later through his death and resurrection. These stories remind us that God's promises are still true and that throughout history, he keeps them. In what ways has the Lord shown faithfulness to you in your wilderness season, y'all? So, I have been through some wilderness experience this past quarter, and God has been faithful. This trip alone has just shown me, you know, that don't lose heart. I'll read you scripture from Psalms 107, starting from verse 1. Praise Adonai, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. Let the redeemed of Adonai say so, whom he redeemed from the hand of the foe, whom he gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the sea. Some wandered in a desert, a wasteland. They found no way to an inhabited city. Hungry and thirsty, their souls embedded away. Excuse me. So they cried out to Adonai in their distress, and he delivered them out of their troubles. Then he led them by straightway to go to a city where they could live. Let them praise Adonai for his mercy and his wonders for the children of men. For he satisfies a thirsty soul and fills a hungry soul with goodness. Y'all, Jehovah is just awesome. So then we went, y'all, to Mount Precipice. Now, once again, excuse me, Israel is a very mountainous place. Mount Precipice offers one of the most stunning views in Israel. From here, you can see many landmarks mentioned in the Old and New Testament. lingering cough. So, but Jehovah Rapha is my healer. If we think back to the Old Testament, we might imagine standing on this same cliff and watching mighty armies clash in Jezreel Valley, which we went. There, Joshua and his men drove out the mighty Canaanites and claimed the valley. Excuse me. To the east, we saw Mount Tabor. So we went to Mount Tabor, y'all. So once again, Israel is a very mountainous place. It was just wonderful. Here, Deborah and Israelite judge met with Barak, the Israelite military commander. After their meeting on the mountain, they descended to fight the armies of Sisera, and the Lord routed Israel enemies, giving the people victory. So y'all, I forgot to mention earlier, if you're going to Israel, you definitely need to take comfortable walking shoes. Gym shoes is hot if you want to get sports sandals, but you need to get comfortable shoes because you're going to be doing a lot of walking. So I lost about like 5 pounds. So that, I mean, it was a lot. And then, you know, going up the mountain, of course, we didn't do mountain climbing, but they had like this zip line, like cart where it, you know, it took us up to the top. It was just amazing. We were able to see everywhere. To the west on Mount Carmel, the prophet Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal and King Ahab. Elijah's prayer and sacrifice brought down the fire upon the altar and proved to the prophets of Baal worship a false god. Hundreds of years later, God the Father, his son, Jesus, Yeshua, and so many at the place. And we also went and visited the village of Nazareth, y'all. And Jesus read the prophetic words of Isaiah and Nazareth, claiming in the local synagogues to be the Messiah, as in Luke 4:18-19. After this declaration, the people were filled with rage and tried to even kill Yeshua by driving him to the very edge of the cliff. But instead of being pushed off as the crowd intended, he miraculously walked away unscratched. After Jesus departed from Nazareth, where we went, you can also see in scripture, he began his ministry of teaching and healing in the community surrounding the Sea of Galilee. And as I said before, we took a wonderful boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. It was beautiful. Even the hotel that we stayed at, it was near the Sea of Galilee. In Tel Aviv, we also were near the Mediterranean Sea. Just beautiful. This hilltop is a good place to reflect on the sovereignty of God. We were able to wake up early and go take a walk near the Sea of Galilee. Me, my daughter, my sister, my friend, Tiff, and, you know, we held hands, we did prayers, we saw the sun come up. It was just beautiful. You know, when you're going through your hilltop experiences, and no matter what, you know, the enemy will try to bring you down. But you have to remember that God is faithful. He always have our back. His plan can never be thwarted. You know what I'm saying? Like, God's plan can never be destroyed. It's the enemy that has already been destroyed by Yeshua. So, you know, we are already victorious and winners. And, you know, his plan cannot be destroyed no matter how many enemies battled against his people in this valley. When God says that, you know, he's for us, he will make sure that we win every single battle, for sure. So the next one, I would say, day four, we really focus on Galilee and Nazareth. And then we went up to the hilltop. We saw the borders of Egypt and Mesopotamia. So following his proclamations, if you remember, in his hometown of Nazareth, where he was born, and also we went to Nazareth, his hometown, and then also Bethlehem, and that almost, you know, ended his life, where he went in Nazareth, he was preaching. He moved to the region of the Sea of Galilee and spent most of his adult ministry there. Yeshua intentionally chose Galilee as his ministry base. In the first century, the land of Israel was the bridge between Egypt and Mesopotamia. So Egypt, Africa, was very essential in our Holy Land tour. Because if you remember, you know, King Herod wanted to kill or started killing all the newborn boys, male child, and Joseph and Mary had to flee to Egypt, Africa. So we also went to the border and saw Egypt. In the first century, the land of Israel was a bridge between Egypt and Mesopotamia. The trade route called the Via Maris was used by travelers from North Africa, and we were able to see that trade route on their way to Syria and beyond. So we also saw Syria border. As a result, Jesus' message of the kingdom of God was heard by people passing through Galilee. This region holds so many significant sites. We went to Capernaum, which is the home of several disciples and the base of Jesus' Yeshua ministry. We went to Magdala, which is likely the home of where Mary Magdalene was from. So we visited there. We went also to the Mount of the Beatitudes, the site of where Jesus' Yeshua most famous teaching of the Sermon on the Mount. And around the Sea of Galilee, Jesus healed the sick, calmed the storm, and preached repentance and a new kingdom. So you can really feel like Jesus, Yeshua, healing spirit just throughout the Holy Land. Following his resurrection, Jesus returned to the Sea of Galilee and found his disciples. From here, he would send them to the ends of the earth to make more disciples. So we are all called to be ambassadors for Christ and to make more disciples for God's kingdom. And it's really, really vital that everyone, especially all Christians, but everybody should take a trip to Israel. Maybe the mountain he chose for his final message overlooked the Via Maris, which we were able to see, and is the trade route that connected the east and west. And from here, he commissioned them to take disciples of all nations. The choice to minister in this region reminds us that Jesus is the great light, y'all, to Israel and to the nations. He is the salvation of those under the shadow of death. So, y'all, that was going to Galilee and going to, you know, all those places on day 4 was just awesome. On day 5, this was just another awesome day. We journeyed back to Jerusalem, and we were there for about, I think, 2-3 days. And we went to key places. We drove down to the Mount of Olives and into the temple through the southern steps. This is triumphal entry that began the final week of his life of Yeshua. Later that week, Jesus and his disciples visited a house to celebrate a Passover meal. So we went to the house where they potentially did the Passover in the upper room. Traditionally, that site is located in Mount Zion, just outside the old city walls, where we went after the Last Supper. Jesus, Yeshua, and his disciples walked across Kidron Valley and entered the Garden of Gethsemane, y'all. So we went to the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives. Jesus was grieved in his spirit and begged his Father for another way to save humanity. But in the end, he chose to obey his Father's will. Jesus was betrayed by Judas Iscariot and arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And they built the church there by officers serving the chief priests. The Church of the Holy Spectre marks the traditional site of the crucifixion. So, as I said, the Church of the Holy Spectre is right there near the Garden of Gethsemane. And it's the traditional site of the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua. The path of the church is known as the Via Dolorosa, which in Latin means the painful path. This is where tradition states that Jesus Yeshua struggled long under the weight of the cross to his death. After the resurrection, Yeshua ascended into the heaven from the Mount of Olives, where we also visited. The book of Acts tells us that he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. As the disciples stood in awe at his departure, two angels promised that Jesus Yeshua would return in the same way. Jerusalem is a place of ancient despair seen in the crucifixion and hope for all nations. Here, Yeshua made it possible for us to be reconciled to God, Jehovah, and live with him forever. His resurrection brings us hope for his future return. While the time and place of his return is uncertain, the Mount of Olives stands as a reminder that our Messiah is coming back. So, y'all, it was just amazing. And then the next day, we went back towards the Mediterranean coast, going back to Tel Aviv. And, you know, the good news of the coming of the kingdom of God was sent to the nations through the apostles. So the ancient city of Jaffa is located just south of the modern city of Tel Aviv. Here Solomon brought supplies to build the temple to usher the people into God's presence. And here Jonah fled from God's presence in disobedience. So we went to the wonderful city of Jaffa. In the New Testament, the book of Acts tells us that in Jaffa, the apostle Peter experienced a vision with a clear purpose. Yeshua wanted his message to be taken to Jews as well as non-Jews, otherwise known as Gentiles. It's not a coincidence that God revealed this message to Peter in Jaffa, as Jaffa was a crucial port for Israel's economy. Another important city located on the beaches of the Mediterranean is Caesarea Maritima, or Caesarea by the sea. Peter became the export of Jesus' message by visiting Caesarea, which we also visited after his vision in Jaffa. He traveled up the coast and preached the gospel of Jesus to a Roman official named Cornelius, who already believed in Israel's God. The Apostle Paul also visited Caesarea 3 times throughout his missionary journeys. At the end of the ministry, Paul was imprisoned for 2 years at Caesarea, and the examples we have looked at, both Jaffa and Caesarea, represent the success and even failures of God's people in sharing his message with the nations. These beaches remind us of the truth that even though the Mediterranean Sea serves as a physical border for Israel, it also represents the incredible responsibility given to us to take the message of Yeshua to the ends of the earth. God's promise and instructions are for us, just as the apostles. There are many people around the world who wait for the opportunity to hear about God's love through his son, Yeshua. So, y'all, this is a call to action that you should definitely plan a Holy Land trip. If you want the best deals and the best experience, contact Touring Travel Agency. I will put her info in my profile link. We also ended, you know, the last day, we went out to eat. We went walking around the Mediterranean Sea and just meditating and just taking in, you know, all that we experienced in the previous 7 days. So we were there 8 days total. So we started off with a nice dinner, communion, and then, you know, we ended with a nice dinner, communion, and just revelation of all that, you know, all that we saw, y'all. So it was just amazing. From going, we visited Bethlehem, you know, Caesarea Maritima, as I said. We went to the Garden Tomb. We went to the Church of the Holy Septa. Went to the Via della Rosa. Just, you know, telling you the key sites. The southern steps of the temple. We also went to the Mount of Olives and the Bania Caesarea Philippa. And we went to Bethsaida. And we also went to Magdala, the city of Mary Magdalene. The Sea of Galilee, did a boat ride. Once again, it was just beautiful. The Mount of Beatitudes. We went to Capernaum, and these are just wonderful sites. Mount Arbel. We also went to Judean Wilderness and Mount Principe and the Valley of Elah. So it's a lot of valleys, a lot of mountains, Mount Tabor. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience. Judean desert, very deserty, very mountainous. And we went to Jericho and the place of Joshua and Beersheba. So once again, this was just a wonderful, 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 wonderful trip to the Holy Land, and just an eye-opener. And I just thank God for the opportunity. And I want to say that everybody should go. Even, you know, they also for Muslims, they also have like the second Holiest Mosque, where we also visited in Israel. So it's not just Christians, a lot of Muslims and just people of all religions visit the Holy Land just because of the historical importance. But just biblically as Christians, I think it's very important for all of us to go, and I'm still going to go again, excuse me, for part two, for an extended tour starting in Israel, again, with more family and friends, and people of my ecclesia, my ministry, we will start in Israel and then go to Egypt. There's some people that even did an extended tour. I mean, that's if you really got if you really got money. Started in Israel, then they went to Jordan, and then I think they went to Greece or Syria, and then Egypt. So they're all around there. And but I want to see, you know, just the connection and the link between Israel and, of course, Africa. Egypt is very important just for me, and just seeing that strong significance in the Bible. And my apostle, Michael Adefarwa, said he's about to bring out a book soon that's going to launch Joseph Mandate. And just the significance of Joseph also in Egypt. His brothers sold him. And Genesis 50:20, what they meant for evil, you know, God turned around for good. And Pharaoh promoted him as prime minister. He was, you know, the second most powerful in Egypt and really redeemed them from a famine, I believe. A famine is coming, but there's already been press release by like Secretary Blinken saying global food. There's been a recent press release by the Secretary of State, Blinken, talking about the upcoming, you know, global really famine and global food crisis. So I really believe also this is a time that we need to prepare another 7 years, and there might be just an extreme famine. I'm not even might. I have a really good just prophetic revelation from Jehovah. So we really need to prepare. Even money, you know, will not be enough. You know, dollar will be devalued. So a lot of people already are stocking up on gold and silver and just, you know, making sure that they have a plan A, B, and C. Make sure your passports are still valid. But it's very important to just travel and enlighten yourself. And this Israel Holy Land trip has just been a blessing. I would drop the link also to that global food security press release that came out in video from the Secretary of State. And a lot of investments now are pouring into Africa, because Africa is a continent that has over 60% of the land has not been cultivated, and is just very fertile for you know, agriculture, productivity. And Africa can really feed the world, just like in the genetics, the beginning of time in Genesis, when there was a world famine, and Pharaoh appointed Joseph to be the prime minister and store up for those 7 years as he dreamed. His dream, he said, you know, there's going to be 7 years of plenty, and then it's going to be followed by 7 years of famine. So those 7 years now, I believe, you know, a lot of our nations, especially in Africa, we need to get our agriculture in alignment, and we need to, you know, get good storage system, irrigation system. That's another thing that I wanted to add in Israel. They, you know, as we were traveling from city to city, they had like great, like greenhouses, like storehouses. They have a wonderful, I think one of the best, if not the best, irrigation drip system, because that area is very desert-y and mountainous. They created like this innovative like drip pipe system to irrigate their crops and then store it and preserve it. Y'all, it was amazing to see that, you know, driving, and I took pictures of that too. So please, once again, go to my Wonders of Mahala Instagram page for more photos and videos of my wonderful trip of walking, you know, the place where Jesus walked from his birth to where he was resurrected, where he died, you know, just his whole journey and his whole ministry to just save us. It was amazing. So once again, thank you for listening to the Wellness of Wahala podcast. I wish you much love and blessing. The scripture reference for this season is Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for us. Just hold your peace. Shalom. If God before you, no one can be against you. And we are already victorious, y'all. So hit me up also if you want to join on our next trip back to the Israel and also Egypt. So love you. And I wish you guys know Wahala this season. And of course, like and share. Thank you. Bless up. Things that really touched me is we went to different museums, the Masada Museum, the Holocaust Museum, and just how evil people are. I mean, there was one video that I saw of during the Holocaust when some Jews were being transported in this like container type train. You know, they didn't give them no food. There was a lady that just had a baby. The baby was hungry. Her breast milk wasn't, she wasn't lactating. They were literally starving them. The baby starved to death, and they continued on the journey, that, you know, with the corpse in the in the train, and they didn't do anything. She kept crying, and, you know, my baby has passed away. I mean, did people, you know, in this world, when I think that people cannot get any even worse, they just get worse, and it just takes us back to, like, you know, even just the modern day slavery that's going on now, and trafficking, and just all types of evil. Just really just prayers even for survivors. The lady that did our Holy Land tour, her dad was a Holocaust survivor. She said he doesn't even, he gets so emotional, he doesn't even talk, you know, about the details. She hears some from, like, her aunt, but most of her family members, you know, died during that time, at least on her father's side. So just big salute and prayers to all the survivors of the Holocaust. And it, you know, you really don't know somebody's true history until you go to their country themselves and hear firsthand from survivors, or, you know, first generation grandchildren of those that were in the Holocaust and victim of the Holocaust. It was very, very, very bad. And, you know, there's still a lot of friction. You know, we're all brothers and sisters. We're all created by God, you know, with the Palestinians and Israelis and Israel. I just, you know, I tell people, go back to history, and even the Bible. Isaac and Ishmael were family. I also have a lot of Christians and also Muslims in my family. We are all created by God. We should all be able to live in harmony and in love. The violence and just killing is just evil, and I totally condemn it. So, but it was just an eye-opener to see their museum and the true history being told firsthand. It's, you know, it's just heartbreaking.
We lift you high, hands up, hearts open wide as we cry. God, we lift your name high. Let all the other names fade away. Oh,
yes, sir.
Let all the other men fade away. let every other name fade away. Till there's only you, let every other name fade away. Jesus, take your, take the wheel, oh God. 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 I surrender everything to you. I surrender everything to you. You can check the course and take the wheel. Hey! Jesus, take your place.
Thank you all for tuning in to the Wellness and Wahala podcast. And once again, use your voice to be a voice of the voiceless and speak up against violence against women and just violence against, you know, our girls. And also remember the 16 days of activism. So speak up now. And the theme for the International Day of Violence Against Women, celebrated all over the world on the 25th of November, tomorrow, 2021, is Orange the World and End Violence Against Women Now. It takes all of us to raise awareness. Wear your orange, okay? Bright orange. And the orange color, it represents a brighter future free of violence against women and girls. So be a part of the movement, and I wish you no wahala this week and this season. Bless up. Mwah.